The following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By, 90 minutes of music, talk radio, comedy, and more, brought to you by Total Theater and Performing Arts Insider, and it's all hosted by yours truly, Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, humorist, journalist, songwriter, and snow shoveler. All right, let's all say it together, shall we? Some weather we're having, huh? Damn! I mean, I love the fact that all week long they warned us on TV that there would be a big storm over the weekend, nor'easter. All these high-paid weather dudes tracking their Dopplers and doppling their trackers. Biggest story on the news. Lead story, snow coming. Light snowfall on Friday, maybe 1 or 2 inches, and then the big kahuna on Saturday with cold and wind. All that technology, all those minutes of TV news airtime, right down to Thursday evening. And everyone was really prepared for Saturday. They were right on the money. Got a late start, but from 11 in the morning on, it was like Blizzard City. But nobody got Friday right. Friday was supposed to be annoying, a teaser, an inch or two of snow as a warning of what was to come. 6 inches later, with people being killed on the roads and breaking their hips on the sidewalks, I'm sorry, I don't know what they teach in meteorology school, but lesson one should be, if snowfall's coming, tell people it could be double what they expect it to be. There's no harm in that. You're allowed to be wrong. You're not even guaranteeing it. You're just saying, we see 2 inches, could be four. Like a nearsighted girl on her honeymoon. 3 inches, 6 inches, she just wants to be prepared for how deep she'll get stuck. And for the next 90 minutes, you're stuck with me, Dave, on the 99% Christmas-free version of Dave's Gone By, our 55th episode, if you can believe it, on the air since October 2002, with a mix of smart talk, silly talk, special talk, and music. Weather permitting, we've got some amazing interviews lined up in the weeks ahead before the end of the year. I'll tell you more about those at the end of the show. But this show is just me and you and the music, and it's not going to be Christmas music. Well, maybe just a little, but not the kind you'd be expecting if you listened up and down the radio dials these days. Did you read Ellis Hennekin's column in Newsday this past Wednesday? He really nailed it. Now, the headline read, "A Silent Night Would Sound a Lot Better." And Hennekin opens the piece by talking about all the stores and malls decked out for Christmas, and all the sidewalk Santa Clauses ringing their bells and schwitzing since they've been out there since the middle of October when the weather was still 80 degrees. And Hennekin then writes, quote, Christmas, it's everywhere. But nobody expected this. Christmas this year has all but kidnapped New York radio. Sure, we've heard carols on the radio before, but never anything this absurd. As of last Friday, meaning the day after Thanksgiving, 8, count 'em, 8 New York area radio stations were playing round-the-clock Jingle Bells, Silent Night, and All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. It's enough to choke a chipmunk, or three, writes Hennekin. He continues, up and down the New York radio dial, it's one big audio yule log, 24 hours a day. It started this year on November 13th. That's right, November 13th, when the legendary but troubled WNEW-FM, now called Blink 102, ditched all non-Christmas programming. Why not? One veteran radio analyst shrugged yesterday. No one was listening anyway, but pretty soon, Reagan's powerhouse WLTW, Light FM, was all Santa too, and so was WALK, WLVG, and WKJY KJOY. I don't mean to sound like Scrooge here, wrote Hennekin, but how much, oh come all ye faithful, does one market need? Even more, apparently. Fearing they'd be out Christmased, Other suburban stations were suddenly throwing up their own mistletoe formats. Jersey-based WAWZ, Southern Connecticut's WEZN, and the Hudson Valley's WHUD-FM. Who knows when the regular music will return? Certainly the atheists aren't charmed. You might have heard that New York is a multicultural city, but as far as I could tell, yesterday there is no Radio Ramadan this holiday season. Well, maybe on WGBB, but that's my line, not Hennigan's. There's no Radio Ramadan, he writes, no Hanukkah of the airwaves, no all Kwanzaa all the time, just lots of Burl Ives and Nat King Cole, unquote. And Hennigan goes on to posit theories as to why stations have gone so overboard this year, including the idea that WNEW, a.k.a. Blink, yeah, Blink and you'll miss that name change, WNEW is just atoning for its past sins. Remember, they were the ones who fired Opie and Anthony for encouraging a couple to shtup inside a church. I guess if they keep playing Noel, Noel, they won't go to hell. Only our ears will. And I'm totally with Hennigan on the whole Christianization of America during holiday time. It was bad enough when I was growing up and watching American media go all Yuletide and barely pay attention to Hanukkah. As I got older, I tried to get a little more tolerant, but the holiday kept expanding. Christmas didn't start December 24th, and it didn't start in the middle of December. Soon it was starting right after Thanksgiving. And after doing all that cooking and family stuff on Thanksgiving, women couldn't even enjoy the next day off of their four-day weekend because it was now a second holiday, Christmas shopping day. And then, because commercials are shot weeks in advance and magazine catalogs are put together months beforehand, the aura of Christmas began seeping into every corner of American life well into November. I remember my first job out of school was at a bank in Rockville Center. Why I graduated from film school to go work in a crappy-ass bank, I'll never know. But one week I came in, sometime in late fall, and there were Christmas decorations everywhere. A big tree in the main branch, wreaths and holly branches, festive posters and stickers on the windows, and while other people were feeling festive and Yuletide-y, I suddenly felt really, really, really Jewish and angry. And being young and not versed in the ways of corporate America, instead of complaining or writing a note to the branch manager, I took it upon myself to do up some homemade signs. Not real signs, just drawings on 8.5 by 11 paper in colored magic marker with the words Happy Hanukkah on them. Little realizing that I would actually get in trouble for it. Little realizing that the bank considers its windows a sacred visual component of its dignified atmosphere. So while it was fine for them to paste stickers of Rudolph and sleigh bells on the windows, one little sign reminding the world that, you know, Jewish people live here too, that was verboten. Actually, I didn't get in trouble. They told me my method was wrong, and then I think on the day Hanukkah started, they put a small menorah on the teller's perch. Thank you very much. But you know what? At least it was something. And banks and offices and public buildings are a little more sensitive now. They try to be non-sectarian, and they'll include dreidels and menorahs and Jewish stars alongside the angels and sleighs and frosty snowmen. And some Jews find this even more offensive by blurring the line between Christmas and Hanukkah and making it one big American holiday, Chrismukkah, which is fine until you start singing O Holy Night or remembering what the first syllable of Christmas is. Well, the second syllable of Hanukkah is nuke, which is what I'd like to do to all these radio stations turning a religious festival into secular Muzak. And now it doesn't even start in November anymore. The commercials and the half-hour infomercials and the home shopping channels, they've all got it going on before Halloween. Pretty soon, I swear, the day after Labor Day, 6:31 p.m., the minute after the telethon is over, okay? Jerry Lewis squirts a few tears and gives some wobbly vegetable a hug. Credits roll, music plays. Next commercial is, do you know where to shop for Christmas? It's never too early to stuff those stockings. Yes, it is too early. October is too early. November is too early. I realize Christmas is a big holiday. I realize it means a lot to retailers and manufacturers and part-time workers and, devout Christians. So a week or two of prep time is not unreasonable. Kind of like promoting the Super Bowl or the Grammy Awards. December 10th, okay? That's a good day to start Christmas advertising, December 10th. There's nothing going on, the days are short, the weather's probably horrible. You can deck the halls, put up the trees, keep the stores open late, and then on December 20th, two radio stations, not eight, two, per market, and they cannot be owned by the same company. Two stations can play Christmas music 24/7, and only until December 26th. After that, they don't have to stop immediately. They can taper off slowly, keep playing the Tony Bennett, the Perry Como, but interspersed with Counting Crows and Nine Inch Nails. Roll out Santa Baby and Ave Maria, but throw in Rufus Wainwright and 50 Cent. And by New Year's Eve, that's it. If you're not an evangelical station, until the following December, the name Jesus should not ever be heard unless it's part of an oath or you're mispronouncing the name of a Dominican baseball player. So thank you, Ellis Hannigan, for your Newsday article, Taking the Words Out of My Mouth. You are fighting back in your way by bitching in print. I'm fighting back in mine by playing some of the most un-Christmassy music I can think of. Not anti-Christmas, it isn't irreligious or mocking, but it looks at that phony spirit of good cheer and ersatz commercial bonhomie and says, no, not for all of us. Maybe closer to the holidays, but not yet. Not on my show. So in a few minutes, we'll start the program in earnest, and we've got a couple of cool segments tonight. Just as we did last week, we have a jumbo-sized News Gone By lineup. That's where we do a weekend update-style look at current events from a proudly Grinch-like perspective. Among the topics this week, a slavery museum, Hitler wine, breastfeeding on the highway, breast growing on an airplane, Ozzy Osbourne, and the New Jersey Nets. Plus, okay, we do talk a little bit about Christmas, though not exactly in a holly jolly fashion, but I have a special message about Santa Claus. And we will sing a carol. I forgot about that. And everybody can sing along. The lyrics are posted on my website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. And that'll be about an hour from now, so if you want to prepare, look over the lyrics, get your pitch pipe out, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By for a new holiday standard, It's a Stiff. And music will also be on my mind for this week's edition of Dave Goes Off. That's where I go off on a rambling rant, kind of like Dennis Miller without the thesaurus. And tonight, it's the shuttering of the Bottom Line, a Greenwich Village musical institution that has fallen victim, rather belatedly, to the Manhattan real estate boom. Well, that's coming up in the next half hour. But first, before we talk about the absence of music, let's share some music. A couple of holiday tunes that are anything but merry. They don't jingle, they don't sleep in heavenly peace, they don't walk in a winter anything. I guess you could say they suffer from seasonal infect disorder, and that's just fine by me. On this 55th edition of Dave's Gone By, we're 99% Christmas-free, and the remaining 1% sounds just like this.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit. Blessed is the Lamb whose blood flows. Blessed are the spat upon, Why?
cutting down trees. They're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long, I would teach my feet to fly. Help me, you know, he put me at ease, and he loved me so naughty, made me weak in the knees. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I'm so hard to handle, I'm selfish and I'm sad. Now I've gone and lost the best baby that I ever had. Oh, I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long, I would teach my feet to reindeer singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river I could skate away
on. If that song doesn't suck the Christmas joy right out of you, nothing will. A song that has to be played this time of year, like Adam Sandler's Hanukkah song, it wouldn't be a proper un-Christmas without it, Joni Mitchell's River. I was always just a little disappointed that the song was specifically about a breakup. I made my baby cry, I made my baby say goodbye, rather than just more generic angst and loneliness and ennui around holiday time. I think that would have made it even more universal, but it works either way. And starting that set with a couple of Jewish boys bestowing a rather harsh but righteous benediction, Simon and Garfunkel with Blessed Are. And blessed are ye who listen here to Dave's Gone By, 6:30 to 8 p.m. every Monday night on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport, and AM 1240 WGBB.com, live streaming on the internet. Coming up in our last half hour, a farewell to the bottom line, about to leave a small hole in the heart of West 4th Street. But before that, our wacky weekly news gone by. Bunch of stories this week, you don't want to miss them. And just a reminder that this program is rated DGB 13. That's the Dave's Gone By equivalent of the movie's PG 13. The Good Housekeeping equivalent of a Christmas toy that could choke a 5-year-old to death, but a 10-year-old could probably handle it. So you've been warned. They're your kids, you make the call, and honestly, if your kids choke to death, that's just one more reason for me to vote down school taxes. Oh yeah, I'm graduating from Humbug U on this 99% Christmas-free edition of Dave's Gone By, brought to you by me, Dave Lefkowitz, brought to you by Performing Arts Insider Magazine, brought to you by the Total Theater Company, and brought to you by these fine sponsors, who will take only 60 seconds of your time, starting now! It's time for a segment called Dave Goes Off. Not off the air or off my rocker, but off on a tangent, off on a rant, off on a topic that doesn't quite fit in the news gone by or in another segment. This one's been in the wind for a few months now, but just this week really became final. And I'll read some of the article from the New York Post. Quote, "The bottom line has reached the end of the line. A Manhattan judge ordered the eviction of the legendary nightclub that helped launch the career of rock icon Bruce Springsteen and many others. Manhattan Civil Court Judge Donna Recant, interesting name there, Donna Recant wrote in her decision that she had ruled in favor of New York University, the club's landlord. And the ruling gives bottom line owners Alan Pepper and Stanley Snadowski 5 days to clear out their 29-year-old establishment. 5 days. Now, this order was handed down on December 2nd, last Tuesday, so this past weekend was basically the fifth day. A Newsday story last Thursday, December 4th, added, quote, "The bottom line will not go quietly. Despite a court-ordered eviction, the Greenwich Village Beacon plans to go on with its shows until a city marshal bars the doors. We're not closing in 5 days, as is being reported," a bottom-line spokesperson said. "I can only hope somebody with more power than we have can get to NYU President John Sexton." Now, on December 2nd, after months of legal battling, the legendary club, which owes $190,000 in back rent, moved a step closer to closing when civil court judge Donna Recant issued a warrant of eviction to be executed 5 days later. NYU spokesman John Beckman told Newsday, quote, "There's an easy way for them to stay there. They should pay the back rent and they should sign the lease." Now, the bottom line claims NYU does not really want the club. They say the club's lawyers sent NYU a counterproposal, which was ignored. The bottom line spokesperson says, quote, "Despite what they've said publicly, they've wanted us out from the beginning. And the university says they've been going back and forth on a new lease, but the club isn't living up to its side of the agreement. Blah, 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 blah." Now, you might remember from a few weeks ago, the Sirius Satellite Network posted $185,000 escrow money to cover the club's back rent. I don't know where Sirius got the money, since they're $40 gazillion in debt, but be that as it may, Sirius did put up that stake, pending the new lease, which never got signed. So I'm sure there is some fault on both sides of the bottom line NYU West Bank, or West 4th Street Bank, or Citibank. Anyway, I did hear co-owner Alan Pepper on the TV news saying that they're currently paying about $11,000 a month rent, and the new lease calls for a modest increase to roughly $22,000 a month rent. Understand, one of the cool things about the bottom line is that they've tried to keep their prices pretty reasonable over the years. Everybody knows, you go to Giant Stadium or Madison Square Garden now for some famous performer, and tickets are $60, $80, $100, and those are just basic seats from lousy sightlines 100 miles away. I saw Bob Dylan at MSG a year or so ago from floor seats, which, if you're under 6 foot tall, is basically an audio concert of you staring at the back of the head of the guy in front of you. And that was something like $60 or $70. I'm not going to do that again. Now, the bottom line, if you're lucky, okay, you get a table. You can actually have food service if you get there early enough. But if not, okay, you have to stand, which is no fun. A few weeks ago, I was talking about seeing Robin Hitchcock play a club in Boston, and I sat at the back of the bar in order to actually sit down while seeing him perform. But all right, standing tends to be the way things are done in musical clubs. Even if there are chairs, after the third song, some people start standing to see better, and then more people have to stand to see over them, and then everybody just has to stand. And just thank God theater isn't like that. Imagine trying to concentrate on Tennessee Williams or Eugene O'Neill while shifting from foot to foot for 3 hours. But, okay, back to the bottom line. The point is, while other clubs, which were much more crowded and much less homey, would charge much more for a ticket, the bottom line would try to be somewhat mindful of its audience. Remember, the club is right next to Washington Square Park. It almost feels like part of NYU, much to its bad luck. But they realized a huge chunk of their crowd were students. Film students and law students and economics students with their parents paying tuition but spending money coming out of their own pockets. Even today, the bottom line doesn't take credit cards. I'm still using the present tense. I realize the bottom line could be officially closed as I speak. But back when I was going to college, you'd cough up $12 or $15 or $20, now it's probably closer to $25 or $30, and you have an evening of music, 2 shows a night. I go to the early show because I was generally commuting from Long Island. Real music people will go to the late show because those would usually be longer, a bit looser, and if the artist felt like doing more encores, well, there was no second crowd waiting to get in. I probably saw a dozen or so shows at the bottom line over the years, including the aforementioned Robin Hitchcock, accompanied by a violinist, which was rather nice, Loudon Wainwright III, The Roaches, Jane Sibbery. Sibbery was the first time I'd ever seen anyone using one of those detached head mics that I think Laurie Anderson perfected and now everybody uses, from Britney Spears to musical theater. I saw Uncle Floyd, Weird Al Yankovic, who just tore the place up with his energy. I think Dr. Demento brought his tour there. I'm not 100% sure it was the bottom line, but I think it was. And he had a bill including Tiny Tim, whom we're going to hear later, Bobby Boris Pickett, Benny Bell, who wrote Shaving Cream. I am talking demented royalty here. And on the less loony side, Richard Thompson, on acoustic guitar, playing Requests Out of a Hat. I remember him completely hushing the audience with 52 Vincent Black Lightning, and then, out of the same hat, he picked the Who song, Substitute, and just nailed it. People were like, this guy can do anything. I remember Amy Mann playing there, and for the encore, being joined on a song or two by Andy Partridge of XTC, not a musician you see on stage very often. Their duet was horrible, but it was such a surprise, no one cared. I did not see some of the staggeringly famous folks who did stints at the bottom line. Lou Reed did a few nights there about 15 years ago. My friend Scott attended one of them and was blown away because Reed did half of the album Berlin, which he didn't do any other night of the gig. I did not see Elvis Costello there, Billy Joel, George Jones, the annual Flo and Eddie Christmas shows. And there isn't a rock music fan alive who doesn't wish he was there, or lies and says he was there, August 1975, when Bruce Springsteen brought his scruffy little E Street Band to the stage. Now, he went into that concert, an unwashed, seemingly overhyped New Jersey New Dylan from Columbia Records, and he came out not a star, but an absolute legend. Even those of us who saw Bruce live during the steroidal Born in the USA mega years, 3-hour Uber concerts that rocked entire stadiums, we knew that if the devil was standing at the crossroads offering to trade our giant stadium upper boonie seats for just 5 minutes seeing Bruce at the bottom line in 1975, well, we'd sign on the bottom line of whatever contract Satan held out to us. Now, I'm not generally nostalgic about places and buildings. I've seen Broadway theaters come and go, favorite restaurants get torn down or renovated beyond recognition. I'm not really nostalgic about those things. They tore down my junior high school for a quick buck, and I was only mad because they undersold the property and put up crowded eyesore co-ops in the school's place. So I'm not distraught about the bottom line bottoming out. It's not like I went every weekend or thought it was an ideal place for seeing bands. I'll take Town Hall any day. But it's a piece of my youth, a slice of my college years, with mixed emotions because I went to NYU, the villain of the piece, and I'm thrilled my alma mater has grown so big. But must they own every piece of real estate east of 8th Avenue and south of West 9th Street? And couldn't one of the NYU alumni stake the club to a couple of hundred grand the way Sirius did? It must be some internet millionaire or rich filmmaker who remembers the club fondly and could say, what, half a million to keep them going for a few years? Sure, call my broker. But hey, if it's not to be, it's not to be. So I really just wanted to use this segment not to upbraid NYU or to mourn the passing of an era, several eras. No, I just wanted to say thank you, Alan Pepper and Stanley Sadowski, owners of The Bottom Line. Thanks for not making a club that was just for moshing or dancing or getting drunk, for a club that didn't simply feel like a urinal with the bowls taken out, for making The Bottom Line a venue for up-and-coming folky and exotic and alternative rock performers, as well as the major names who could have played bigger venues, but wanted to sense the presence of real human beings in the audience. You know, Art and Stanley, a bunch of music clubs have sprung up on Long Island the past couple of years, and they seem to be doing well. I'll bet there's room for one more. Sure, real estate's expensive here, too. But maybe there are still some commercial landlords who find room for a new and even better Bottom Line. And wouldn't that be tops? Back after this. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB Freeport and AM 1240 WGBB.com. It's time for the News Gone By, a look at world and local events of the past week from a crush-crushing perspective. In political news, well, the liberal media may not be able to elect a president or keep a governor in power or stop the Republicans from doing anything they please, but at least we can have fun and go nyeh-nyeh-nyeh-nyeh. Ah, satire, the panacea of the powerless. And we got off a good one this week thanks to the internet. It was a Google bomb, meaning thousands of people participated in creating this internet prank. Not a virus, just a prank. What happens is, if you go to Google, www.google.com, it's a search engine, and you type in the words, miserable failure, the first result you're going to get is the official White House biography of George Bush. Try it. It worked on Saturday when I last checked. In fact, 9 out of the first 10 search results on miserable failure were websites blasting the president. And you get similar results searching Yahoo and Lycos and Go.com. And the way it apparently works is that people create links on their web pages using the words miserable failure, and those links go to the White House page. If enough people do that, it becomes the most popular search and jumps to number one on Google. Now, of course, those of you listening with websites of your own, old Dave would be ever so grateful if you simply took the word radio or comedy and linked it to my webpage, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. If a few million people did that, the PR value would be tremendous. Of course, if a few million people did that, I wouldn't need PR, but I do wish that people would stop linking the phrase Dave's Gone By to websites that show people having sex with animals. I don't do that anymore. And even when I did, the sheep was of age, and I wasn't wasteful. I didn't make lamb chops afterwards. From politics today to politicians of yore, according to researchers at the Illinois Historic Preservation Agency, many of the famous quotes attributed to President Abraham Lincoln, he never said. Agency spokesperson Rodney Davis told the New York Post, quote, Lincoln seems to provide validation for just about anything anybody wants to have validated. If you can't find a Lincoln quote, you make one up. The agency says some of the phrases ascribed to Honest Abe were honestly not his, such as, the strength of the nation lies in the homes of its people, or, you know this one, you can fool all of the people some of the time and some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Great quote, but they were all fooled. That wasn't Lincoln either. However, they did uncover this surprise. People don't realize it, but Lincoln was the first person to say, treat me like the slut you know I am. Oh, and speaking of that era, ground was broken last week in Fredericksburg, Virginia, on the site of what will be the National Slavery Museum. Exhibits will include papers and artifacts, African statues, and a reproduction of a slave ship. Construction starts next year on the archive, which will show not only the horrors of racism and indentured servitude, but how, ironically, those things helped build this country up. The museum is hiring staff now, with jobs ranging from a six-figure salary for a curator to $7.50 an hour, no benefits for coat check, cafeteria, and janitorial. In political news from Italy, Alessandra Mussolini has quit the right-wing National Alliance Party to form her own party. She was angry because the alliance condemned her grandfather, who just happened to be World War II dictator Benito Mussolini. Alessandra says the alliance's views are, quote, inconsistent. She said there's much good that Mussolini did in his time, and she still remembers getting toys and presents from Unky Hitler. I know that joke is not very funny, but I just like saying the phrase Unky Hitler. Also, it leads right into this next item. Just in time for the holidays, courtesy of the Lunardelli Vineyard in Italy, it's Hitler wine. That's right, bottles of wine with pictures of Adolf Hitler, Heinrich Himmler, and Hermann Göring on them. Granted, they're part of an historical series that features also such convivial toastmasters as Joseph Stalin, Mussolini, and Napoleon. You can see a couple of bottles on my website this week, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By, and you can see all the labels if you go to the Lunardelli website, www.vinilunardelli.it for Italy, vinilunardelli.it. It's in three languages, but if you click on the British flag, you can get it in English. And if you click on the left-hand bar and go to the history series, you can see all the labels. Now, to be fair, they have one label with Winston Churchill and another with that famous picture of Churchill, Roosevelt, and Stalin at Yalta. And they have about 15 labels of Hitler. And the Nazi ones don't just show an old photo. One bottle has Hitler standing over the logo, One People, One Nation, One Leader. Another has him saluting with the words, Sieg Heil. Company owner Alessandro Lunardelli told the London Guardian he sees nothing wrong with the images. This is a quote. People like these characters. They make good table conversation. So I'm not about to stop selling. I am sorry if there are some people, German politicians, Jewish groups, or that type of thing, who get upset. But it's just history. I see no reason for such a fuss. Well, the German government feels differently, and they're in a furor over Der Führer because it's illegal there to have Nazi memorabilia or symbolism. But Germans are buying the beverage when on holiday in Italy or directly over the internet. One thing a lot of the news stories about this are not mentioning is that Lunardelli has been selling this stuff for a decade, and they're very upfront about it on their website. You can see that website, vinilunardelli.it. You can read the newspaper articles written in 1995 and 97, where there were complaints and legal actions taken to stop the company from continuing the series. And even back then, Lunardelli said, quote, it's just a gimmick. We do this for financial reasons. We're not involved in propaganda. I don't know. Ordinarily, I would think this is kind of sick funny, kind of like when the theater audience in The Producers starts laughing at Springtime for Hitler. It's so ridiculously offensive that it can only be taken as mocking parody. But I really don't think this Lunardelli schmuck gets it. And a good percentage of Germans and Bavarians socking this stuff away in their wine cellars aren't really in on the joke either. I will say this. The company has tried to show some level of responsibility. In its TV and print ads for Hitler wine, they always end with the caution, don't drink and exterminate. In legal news, 29-year-old Catherine Donkers of Ravenna, Ohio, was sentenced to 3 months house arrest for nursing her infant. Of course, she was doing it while driving on the turnpike at 65 miles an hour. Donkers is appealing the sentence, saying her husband had ordered her to nurse the kid on the road to save time, and she obeyed. because they're both members of something called the First Christian Fellowship for Eternal Sovereignty. It's a strange religion that mixes faith and American politics. But one of the basic tenets is that husbands, not the government, not the courts, husbands are in charge of their wives' actions, and it's up to them to administer justice and punishment. It's an absolutely ridiculous and stupid religion, and if I could just get my wife to go to one meeting... I'm just kidding, hon. Every guy out there listening is going, yeah, yeah, and every woman is thinking, now how did they get Alan Bird? No, but we love women here, and so does Ireland-based discount airline Ryanair, which is updating its logo just slightly. You can actually see the old and new logo side by side at this website address, http://adrag.com. That's A-D, then a little dash, rag.com, and scroll down the homepage, adrag.com. You'll see the difference in logos immediately. The company has long used the image of a flying angel on its Boeing 737s. Only now, the angel has been repainted to have bigger boobs. A Ryanair spokesperson said, and this is a quote, "We decided to give our customers a more uplifting experience. We think she is rather aerodynamic," unquote. Well, I agree. I do think the logo is much more feminine now, although the effect on the morale and performance of airline personnel has been mixed. Landings have been smoother and service more courteous, except for 1 week every month when the crew turns incredibly cranky and the pilot starts sobbing for no apparent reason. And speaking of PMS, hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, but for God's sakes, pile on the mayonnaise. Those might well have been the words of 37-year-old Waynetta Nolan of Houston, Texas. She will spend the next 10 years in prison for losing her temper at a McDonald's drive-thru. She bought a meal there and told the employee she wanted them to put mayonnaise on her cheeseburger. Workers said she couldn't do that for some reason, and Nolan went into a rage. She threw the burger into the drive-in window. Then Sherry Jenkins, manager of the store, tried to placate Nolan and got her another cheeseburger with all the fixings, including mayonnaise. But Nolan was ranting and raving and beyond appeasement, at which point the manager decided to call the police. But when she went outside to write down the license plate number, Nolan ran her over, breaking her pelvis. Luckily, Jenkins mustered the courage to call a 911 operator who said, "Let us help you so you can catch up," and now she is being treated at the Mayo Clinic. Yes! 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 That's the comedy bell, now serving the Dave's Gone By Bad McPun of the Week. Every week, we make a play on words so juicy, so cheesy, so saucy that we relish its arrival, and we do that using the comedy McBell. And if you're hungry for a value meal of advertising, why not place your order for Dave's Gone By, where we can have it, you can have it, your way. Wow, do I know how to twist metaphors out of shape, or what? But seriously, if you listen to this program a lot, you know the comedy bell. You're used to it, you anticipate it, you almost miss it the occasional weeks we don't have time for it. And advertising works the same way. Keep mentioning the same product, event, or service again and again, week after week, in slightly different, clever, and lively ways, and the message will sink in. People will remember, people will be intrigued, people will buy. And if you think I'm joking, what's the Indian restaurant I always talk about in Rockville Center? That's right, the Tandoor Grill. And if I ask, why should you leave off the last I? You know it's because the food is Indialicious. And if I ask, what's the best place to read about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, dance, and opera? Almost by reflex, you respond, Performing Arts Insider Magazine. So advertising on Dave's Gone By works on three principles: repetition, humor, and repetition. And it helps us reach listeners on Long Island, listeners in Manhattan, and all over the country via the internet. So advertise on this program by sponsoring the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Call 516-295-1                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                                ================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================ 1511 to find out how. Area code 516-295-1511. You won't find a cheaper or better way to reach so many people. And don't forget, we can put your banner on the show's website or include your message as part of our weekly email to listeners. We're shameless, and we can make you shameless too. 516-295-1511, or you can email davesgoneby@aol.com. davesgoneby, no apostrophe, @aol.com to sponsor the Dave's Gone By Bad Pun of the Week. Don't be good, be punderful. Turning to local news on the News Gone By, think of a squabble going on in the Nassau County Police Force. A black fraternal organization is calling for disciplinary action, or at least an apology, from a white police officer who wrote an op-ed piece for the PBA's monthly newsletter. The column lambasted current Nassau Police Commissioner James Lawrence, who is African American. The editor of the newsletter said he had no problem with the piece. He said, quote, "If people want to make it racial, so be it. But this was about Jim Lawrence, who the union feels is useless. There were no racial overtones, and there is nothing to apologize for," unquote. And veteran officer Joe Nocella, who wrote the letter, refused to apologize, saying only that he was misinterpreted. Okay, you decide. According to Newsday, Nocella wrote about the commissioner, quote, "Can we please trade this guy back to the city? We should at least be able to get a couple of cases of shoe polish for him," unquote. Yeah, kind of a gray area there, or black and white area, actually. Michelle is not saying Lawrence should be out on the street shining shoes. He's just saying the PBA should trade him for some shoe polish, which officers do use on a daily basis. Still, at the very least, it's indelicately phrased. The head of the Guardian Association, a fraternal group of black officers, called the remarks, quote, "nothing less than a blackface racial slur. The commissioner is black, and this guy is making a connection with black faces covered with shoe polish. I thought we had gotten away from this," unquote. Well, if it's any consolation, Nocella also wrote a letter to the New Republic, criticizing New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He sees no racial overtones in this one, but, well, you decide. He writes, "Can't we send this hook-nosed vermin back to the ghetto, or at least trade him for a dozen bagels, before the worldwide banking conspiracy kidnaps our children and grinds their bones to make matzah?" Yeah, that one's borderline, too. In celebrity news, happy birthday to Bob Barker, the Price is Right game show host, who turns 80 years old this Friday. Barker told The Hollywood Reporter, quote, "Age doesn't matter as long as you're healthy." He said nothing's different between today and when he was younger, although with the recent death of announcer Rod Roddy, the only time Barker now hears the phrase, "come on down," is from his wife 3 hours after he takes Viagra. Congratulations to Catherine Sergava. She's alive. Now, this may not sound like a big deal for a 94-year-old woman in a nursing home, but it is, because on Thursday, the New York Times printed her obituary. Sergava was the original Dream Laurie in the Broadway musical Oklahoma. After a number of phone calls to the Times from old friends and colleagues, it became clear that the dancer, though probably frail enough to make Ronald Reagan look good, has not quite joined the choir invisible. The Times blamed the premature obit on a story that ran in the London Daily Telegraph a week earlier that they didn't fact-check enough. But dig this. Newsday also reports that a month ago, the Times had to correct an obit for Harlem photographer Marvin Smith. He was dead, all right, but they got some details wrong. The obit stated that because his twin brother died of testicular cancer, Smith had himself castrated as a preventative measure. This apparently was not true. I called the Times and asked the editor how such a mistake made it to print. He said it was a misunderstanding. The writer had called Smith's widow and asked what he was like. She said he was a decent husband, a good provider, but a little bland, no fire, no temper. The writer said he never got angry. The wife replied, "Angry? He never even got testy." Oh man, sorry about that one. Staying on the celebrity front, Ozzy Osbourne told the London Daily Mirror he was sexually abused as a kid, not by adults, but by two other boys who used to pounce on him as he was walking home from school. Ozzy didn't get the Mepham treatment, but he was mentally and physically tyrannized. I worked it out with a therapist, Ozzy told the Mirror. But when I was a kid, people wouldn't talk about these things. They felt me and touched me. It became a regular thing, unquote. Well, sad as his experiences were, it is an object lesson for children today, because despite his ordeal, Ozzy grew up to be a completely normal and well-adjusted member of society. Also in music news, the new album by Britney Spears, In the Zone, remains perched at the top of the charts. The album shows her exploring themes of love, commitment, personal freedom, and... Oh, this just in, Britney masturbates! Film at 11. We wish. No, but for all the emphasis our culture puts on looks, sometimes it's better to pack on a few, as in this case. A trapeze artist, performing without a safety net, fell when he missed his partner's outstretched arms. The Russian acrobat would have plunged to his death, except that he fell onto a fat woman, 51-year-old spectator Georgina del Carmen Rifo. She broke his fall, and they both suffered only minor cuts and bruises. Still, you gotta feel sorry for this woman, though. She goes to the circus, minding her business, not bothering anybody, saves a guy's life, and gets banged up in the process. Well, what happens? Her name makes the papers, her age makes the papers, and everybody knows she's so obese she can function as a safety mattress. The good news is that she herself has now gotten offers to perform in various circuses, including Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Blimp, and the European troupe Cirque du Frito-Lay. Continuing the news gone by with a scientific discovery, a 425-million-year-old sea creature was discovered in England, and it's being called the oldest known male fossil. According to Newsday, the animal is part of a species group called ostracode. It's a bivalve, something like a lobster or a crab. This one was buried under volcanic ash that mineralized and therefore preserved an imprint of the soft tissue. Scientists could then construct a three-dimensional model of the ostracode and determine that it was definitely male. In fact, if you thought scientists did not have a sense of humor, dig this. They named the species Columbosathon eclepticus. Oh, those witty scientists. No, no, the amusing part is Columbosathon eclepticus is Greek for, and I'm not making this up, amazing swimmer with large penis. Actually, that title is not uncommon. It's already been used for various species of birds, dolphins, and David Duchovny. Okay, two more weeks till Christmas. Time for some holiday news. And bring the kids, because I've got a special message about Santa Claus. But let me preface that with this item. John Parise, the morning DJ on WBAB-FM, which is just down the road from here, also in Babylon, Parise provoked a firestorm of controversy last Monday when he said on the radio, are you ready for this? He dared suggest that there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Angry parents bombarded the station with hundreds of phone calls and emails, so many that Parise was forced to apologize. He had to hold a press conference on Wednesday where he admitted to using bad judgment in breaking the news that Santa is just a lot of ho-ho-hokum. To his credit, Austin Volley, the general manager of Cox Radio, which owns BAB, said the company continues to support Parise. He also said that Parise's comments, quote, should not chill discussion on free ideas. For the past 30 years, WBAB has been a forum for open discussion, unquote. Well, fine. Bravo for BAB and its GM. I realize the existence of Santa Claus is a terribly controversial subject that requires enormous delicacy and factual documentation, but hurrah for the radio station, so brave and bold as to allow that free and open discussion. Except, if it's so free and so open, why did Parise have to apologize? And why did the GM have to say also, quote, we do not share Parise's opinions and are concerned with his method? I'll repeat that first part. We do not share Parisa's opinions, meaning they do believe in Santa Claus, a fat guy in a red suit who swoops down from the North Pole with presents for good little boys and girls? Well, maybe the people at Cox Radio are suckers for a feel-good fantasy, but those Cox suckers shouldn't force DJs to toe the party line. Well, let's grant that Austin Valley and the suits he works for, they really, really believe in Santa Claus. All DJ Paris said in his show, which I did not hear, I'm quoting Newsday on this, he apparently simply said that the miracle of Christmas had nothing to do with a guy named Santa. Christmas has become about a lot of mommies and daddies working their tails off to buy overpriced gifts. Like, he's the first guy to say this. Like, Stan Freberg and Tom Lehrer and Gene Shepard weren't making the same points against rampant consumerism 50 years ago. Like, children shouldn't hear that the toy they play with and break after 3 days cost $100, was molded by Taiwanese laborers making 30 cents an hour, and has to sell like hotcakes at the mall, or else the toy company will have 10,000 layoffs in January. Explaining his Monday remarks at the Wednesday press conference, DJ Paris said that these days, all that matters is adults, quote, getting up at 3 a.m. to get to the department store sales early instead of being a good neighbor, unquote. He even referred to that story we talked about last week where the woman at a Florida Walmart was trampled and had to be hospitalized, all because everyone was rushing to buy a DVD player for $29. Actually, news has come since then that her story may not be so factual either, but anyway, Paris said, my comments, quote, were meant to get back to the original spirit of Christmas, giving and sharing with family and friends. I apologize to parents and mothers and fathers who didn't understand my message. Well, at least Paris didn't apologize for what he said. He didn't go back on saying he doesn't believe in Santa Claus, and that's his right. But I want you to know that I do believe in Santa Claus. I'm Jewish, and I happen to be a very cynical and sarcastic guy, but kids, boys and girls, I hope you're listening, I do believe in Santa. In fact, I've met Santa. He only stays at the North Pole a few months a year. The rest of the time he has a modified ranch in Far Rockaway. And he's a nice guy, fat and jolly, loves children. Loves children a little too much, in fact. If you think Michael Jackson gets too friendly with youngsters, you should see Santa. When he bounces those kitties on his lap, you can see Kris Kringle's dingle, if you know what I mingle. And he has terrible breath. It smells like onions and whiskey and vomit, with maybe just a hint of a fishy odor, you know, if Mrs. Claus was putting out the night before. And you all know that Santa doesn't actually make those toys in his workshop. That workshop hasn't been operational for decades. And even when it was just a satellite factory for Mitsubishi Motors. No, Santa steals his toys. He steals them from rich families and department stores in foreign countries like Spain and Holland. Then he brings them to America and puts them down the chimneys of American children just like yourselves. We don't hear about the robberies in those other countries because if the parents complain, Santa has them killed. He's very, very connected, both with the Genovese family and, surprisingly enough, the Israeli mafia. And I've known... Well, I really shouldn't say this because I'm risking my own safety, but Santa has murdered a few children in their sleep. He does it just for kicks. Instead of coming through the chimney, he'll sneak in through a back door and wait in your closet on Christmas Eve. And if you're under 10 years old and you can't name each and every one of Santa's reindeer in order, well, Santa will probably just give you a warning. But if he's in a bad mood, Santa Claus will creep up to your bed, lean over so that his shadow covers your face and you can smell his rancid breath. And just when you start to wake up and open your eyes, he takes a pair of scissors and stabs you in the throat again and again until you bleed to death. And he always carries 2 shot glasses, one for his whiskey, the other to collect the blood of the children he slaughters. He then feeds the blood to his reindeer, each getting the same amount, although Rudolph is special, so he gets the first taste off the top. Meanwhile, Santa's henchmen will come down the chimney and make sure you're dead by twisting your lifeless head until your neck breaks. Then they'll tear up your blood-soaked pajamas and use them to tie Mommy and Daddy to their beds. Santa then goes up in a sleigh just high enough to pour gasoline on the roof. Rudolph then touches his electric nose to the gasoline, and everything burns. Everyone dies. So you see, children, Santa Claus is no myth. He's no storybook character. Santa Claus is very, very real. And very, very evil. Oh, and he has a terrible disease.
Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year, and he won't be round to spread his Christmas cheer. The reindeer all look blue, they know what he's going through. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year. He won't be singing out, ho, 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 but he'll be yelling out, no, 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 no. The nurses all look sad, 'cause Santa's got it bad. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Hello there, hello there. This is Santa Claus speaking. I won't be around this year. I'm sick. But next year I've got the AIDS. Next year, if they come up with a cure.
12 months to wait and then he'll soon be round again. But Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year. 12 months to wait and then he'll soon be round again. But Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Well, Santa's not the only one missing the holiday spirit. The Grinch Award goes to the woman who abandoned her baby in a shopping bag on the steps of a Brooklyn church last week. Priests found the baby girl already dead, though police aren't sure whether she froze to death or was murdered or miscarried. Said the church Monsignor, quote, "It's a shock and it shouldn't have happened. We're all praying for the mother and the baby," unquote. Actually, the congregation did more than that. Instead of their usual Christmas hymns, they added this special holiday song because of the incident. Now, I happen to get a copy of the lyrics, so I'll sing it for you. And it's chapter 31 of your hymnals, by the way, verses 12 through 19. You can also find the lyrics on my website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. Feel free to sing along. Here we go. Oh, the weather outside is frozen, so a Brooklyn church was chosen. All bundled in a blanket and a rag, there's a small baby corpse in a bag. The mother didn't want to have her, so now she's a blue cadaver. And it stinks if you take a whiff. It's a stiff, it's a stiff, it's a stiff. All the congregants in the church, they try to sympathize with the mother, 'cause maybe in 9 more months she'll make a lifeless brother. 'Cause she really didn't have an option, except birth control, abortion, and adoption. When you're stuck with a useless tot, let it rot, let it rot, let it rot. Well, it's kinda hard feeling merry when you've got a bag of bones to bury. There's very little skin inside. Mummified, mummified, mummified. They'll measure her casket size while a sermon's being written, and makeup will soon disguise. Fingers all black and frostbitten. Crack! Now the temperature may be frigid, enough to make a newborn rigid. Too late to save the infant's soul. Dig a hole, dig a hole, dig a hole. It was just the baby's time to die. Wonder why? Wonder why, wonder why. Finishing up the news gone by with sports. Charles Wang, owner of the New York Islanders hockey team, has withdrawn his bid to buy the New Jersey Nets basketball team. Wang blamed the Nets' lengthy bidding process, which prevented him from moving the team to Long Island in time for the next season. Asked to comment, the Nets' general manager said, "It's a mess." But you always have a mess when a Wang pulls out early. And that's the news gone by for December 8th, 2003. Please send your comments, opinions, and well-hung fossils to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. If you like the show, tell us. If you think it could be better, tell us how. And if you think it couldn't be worse, keep listening. We sometimes read listener letters on the air, name withheld upon request, so write legibly and include a blood sample. Or send an email, it's so much easier. Dave's Gone By@AOL.com. Dave's Gone By@AOL.com. If I don't hear from you, I operate in a vacuum. And I'd much rather operate in a steam cleaner. So make me shout Eureka with your letters, emails, phone calls, 516-295-1511. Send me a Hanukkah card. Send me a New Year's gift. Send me an early birthday surprise. Send me anything. But please, no Hitler wine. I already have gas. Back after this. Please stick around till the end of the show. We have more music and fun stuff to do. I also want to tell you about who's going to be on the show, God willing, over the next couple of weeks. But first, let's jump into my mail sack, shall we? Yeah. Let's dig deep into Dave's bulging sack. Here we go. Got a lovely holiday card and note from Art Paul Schlosser. He's the Minnesota street musician we had on the program a couple of months ago by phone. We also played his classic tune, Have a Peanut Butter Sandwich, on the Dr. Dave Mento episode a few weeks back. Well, Art is doing fine. He writes that he and his wife are having an art show in Madison this month. That's Madison, Minnesota, not Wisconsin. It's going on from now till the end of the year at the Urban Market and Coffee House. Find out more at madisonartists.org. And Art Paul writes, I'm working on two new releases. One is called If You Wanna Walk on Water, You Gotta Get Out of the Boat. And the other is called Warning. This CD could be dangerous to your health. I don't know when the CDs will be coming out, Art Paul writes, but I'm going in the studio on December 29th at Randy's Recording in Cottage Grove, unquote. Of course, I wish Art Paul best of luck on all these projects, and if you don't know who Art Paul Schlosser is, give a look to his webpage, geocities.com/Art Paul homepage. That's www.geocities.com/Art Paul homepage. He's got a couple of MP3s up there, some artwork. I think the paintings will surprise you. There's a level of craft you might not expect from hearing his intentionally rudimentary music. And pictures of him on the website. Schlosser reminds me a little of young Alan Arkin, a bit more puckish with more of a Beatle haircut. A guy did a cool interview with Art Paul for a college newspaper, something called the Daily Cardinal. And the guy wrote, Art Paul knows that some people don't get what he's doing. But he says his real fans see his message. Quote, they understand I'm not the greatest comedian in the world, I'm not a lead guitarist, I'm just singing a song or two. Unquote. And the writer continues, to critics and doubters, too jaded to see the decidedly unsubtle humor and warmth in an Art Paul live performance, he poses a very sensible question. What do you want almost for free? Unquote. Well, you know what? We're going to give you a little Art Paul absolutely free, to paraphrase Frank Zappa. Here he is from the Vote for Me, It's a Joke CD, Art Paul Schlosser, with a blunt little tune called Blunt.
Why don't you come over anymore? Why do you stay away? Why did you change your phone number? Just 'cause I called it 50 million times these days. Why don't you like my new suit? Hey, it's designed in plaid. Don't you like the new cologne I'm wearing? It smells like garlic, the latest fad. Why did you put sharks in the swimming pool? Why did you try to make me drown? Why did you ride all across the sky in your airplane? Hey, honey, I don't want you around. Hey, it's a mystery to me. Hey, I don't even understand. Are you saying you really hate me? Or are you saying you really think I'm grand?
Oh, he is grand. Art Paul Schlosser, a good friend of the show, certainly a unique talent. Check him out at geocities.com/Art Paul homepage. And as long as you're web surfing, don't forget to check out my homepage, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. We update it at least once a week, often putting in new pictures, some extra content. This week, you'll see Hitler Wying up there, also the lyrics to It's a Stiff, just in case you want to relive those golden moments of 11 minutes ago. hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. And that is also the address to see all the different things we've done on this show over the past year or so. If a particular episode seems fun or interesting, chances are we have it on cassette, a cassette you can buy. They're only $12, 10 apiece if you buy more than one. And we have copies of the show going all the way back to the very first one. Makes a nice gift if you have friends or family you think would enjoy the show. Maybe they live outside New York and don't have a computer with audio web streaming. What better way to show them you couldn't afford a decent gift, like a sweater or a Game Boy? Give the gift that plays for 60 or 90 minutes. You can also pick up a copy of my book, Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, or just surf around the site. It's free, it's fun, it's hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. If you forget the URL, just Google search Dave's Gone By, and we're right up top. Oh boy, here come the thank yous. Thank you to engineer Joe Salzone, still down for the count with strep throat. I'm sure the blizzard didn't help, but hopefully you'll be back next week grimacing at my jokes, yawning at my rants, and generally making my life a living hell. You're the best. And folks, you can hear his show, Your World with Joe Salzone, Sunday nights at 6. He's also on Sunday nights at 11 with a more loose and free-form program. And he's usually on 6 o'clock Monday nights for half an hour just before my show, Dave's Gone By, at 6:30. Okay, other thank yous. Thank you, Bonnie D. Graham, for plugging my show on your show, Long Island's Dating, Friday nights at 6. If you're single and want advice on dating and relationships, you'll get it free from Bonnie D. Fridays, 6 p.m. Thank you, as always, to my tasty sponsor, the Tondor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center, just across from the Long Island Railroad on the opposite side of Sunrise Highway. One of the guys running it used to be the restaurant captain at Windows on the World. Now, I've eaten at Tondor Grill. The atmosphere is very cozy and nice. The staff is great. So go there tonight. Tondor Grill, 222 Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. Check their menu at tondorgrill.com. Not tandoori, tandoor. Leave off the last I for Indialicious. Thank you to my wife, Joyce, the woman of my dreams and my reality. And now, the big news, the exciting news about the next couple of weeks on this program. A few weeks ago, one of the greatest opera singers of the last century, Franco Corelli, passed away. Now, he may not have the name recognition of Pavarotti, Domingo, Carreras, or that blind fella, but trust me, a lot of opera buffs thought he was second to Caruso, and with some justification. Now, this obviously is not a classical music program, and I really didn't know how to go about commemorating Corelli's legacy or approaching that form of music on here. Of course, I could always simply play some Corelli, like this short excerpt from Il Trovatore, recorded live in Salzburg in 1962. Franco Corelli, from a live 1962 performance of Il Trovatore in Salzburg, conducted by Herbert von Karajan. And as I said, I don't know that much about Corelli, and certainly not enough to do a knowledgeable program about him. But I do know someone who could, someone who opened up the world of opera for me in the first place. He had a long-running radio program on WKCR-FM, that's the Columbia University station. It was called Opera Fanatic, and for 3 or 4 hours on Saturday nights, this host would generally play one opera in its entirety, play selections from others, and have guests and amazing call-ins. Sounds like a pretty normal format, but believe me, there was nothing, blessedly nothing, normal about Opera Fanatic. The show was hosted by a man named Stefan Zucker, who is, as he is proud to point out, listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's highest tenor. And once you hear Stefan's knowledge, his enthusiasm, his voice, and I don't mean his singing voice, I mean his speaking voice, well, you'll never forget it. And weather permitting and schedules permitting, you're going to get that treat here next week on this program. Stefan Zucker, opera fanatic and founder of the Bel Canto Society. Check him out at belcantosociety.org, talking about Franco Corelli and opera in general. I guarantee an evening that's funny, fascinating, and different from anyone we've ever done. Stefan Zucker, next week, December 15th, on Dave's Gone By. And the week after that, our holiday show, notice I didn't say Christmas show, but at least it's close enough to Christmas to allow some holiday cheer, and we will be cheering on three fine ladies who mix rock and roll, satire, comedy, and female empowerment. Sounds weird? Well, you haven't heard Housewives on Prozac. That's right, Housewives on Prozac. They have a CD out, also a holiday single they're pushing, I Broke My Arm Christmas Shopping at the Mall. I was going to play it tonight, but we ran out of time, but we'll make lots of time, December 22nd, first day of winter, to warm up to the Housewives on Prozac on this program. And that does it for this particular program. Thank you so much for listening. We're back next week with our 56th episode, going fanatically operatic with Stefan Zucker. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Stay warm and dry. And gone by.
The hedges first. quench my thirst.